And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Lights out and away we ayo. Welcome to No Breaks, a Formula One podcast from the No Dunks Inc. Classic Factory, proudly a part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Whether you're joining us live in the Slipstream team right now on YouTube or listening to the podcast later, thank you very much. I'm your host, Trey Kirby. We got our team principal, JD, making the magic here.
Hello.
In the paddock. No Graydon today, but we do have a special guest. She's the host of the What Did I Miss podcast, also on the Athletic Podcast Network. It's Michelle Beadle. Michelle, what's up?
Hello. I like that. Team principal. Very well done.
Yeah, you know, we try and use as much newbie slang as we possibly can here, so it seems like we know what we're talking about. I'm glad to see you got the memo about wearing a yellow vintage band t-shirt.
I got you.
Dead & Company and Def Leppard. Much different vibes when it comes to the stage, but when it comes to the shirts, they're holding it down with the yellow and, you know, the psychedelic look. So,
and I think
great.
The age of the audiences are probably similar at this point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But here to talk a little bit about the French GP, here to play a game a little bit later, but also just to talk about being new F1 fans. Michelle, how'd you get into Formula One?
Just so basic. Like everyone else, that the Netflix show grabbed me and that was it. And the funny thing is my mom grew up an F1 fan. She wanted to be a race car driver in Italy. And my brother's been watching for a couple decades now. So I've heard a lot of we told you so's over the course of the last year or so. And they were right. I have definitely been missing out on something that I have really grown to love in a short period of time. And you know, when you're new to something, every day you learn something else. So it's been fun. And I haven't felt the sort of the scorning of old school fans like you do in some sports when you try to pick it up late in life. They seem to be very welcoming so far. So it's been a nice entree into F1.
Yeah, I'm exactly with you. Drive to Survive came out, and as soon as it was over, it was super smart, like running it right next to the start of the next season. You got to hop in there. I was curious if maybe you had prior racing interest. Being growing up in Texas, you might be a NASCAR fan or something like that. But I was surprised to hear maybe you want to be an Italian F1 driver.
No, my mother's born and raised in Rome. I was born in Rome, so we're half and half. She grew up around cars. She grew up around fast cars and legitimately thought she had a chance to be a race car driver. You know, back then girls weren't allowed to do as much as they are now. So she really had these dreams and really enjoyed it. But I should have been listening to her this whole time. I would be so much smarter right now had I just taken her advice early on.
Totally. I feel like I totally missed out on like the 1990s Formula One racing. I just remember seeing like Michael Schumacher always being the number one like earning athlete in the world and being like, hey,
yes.
I thought that was supposed to be Michael Jordan. Wrong,
right?
Michael on top of the list.
Who is this Schumacher? What's that about? Yeah. And then you slowly get like bits of people. I mean, we all knew who he was and he was the only name we probably knew for quite some time. So in that regard, larger than life. But think of all the things we could have been, all the rivalries, all the friendships, all the drama. We miss all of it. We're late.
Yeah, we're a little bit late. I was one of my now greatest regrets in life was we were at some sort of NBA finals. I had to try and take a picture with a famous person, which was my challenge. Ooh. The guy set down for me. There's a lot of famous people at the NBA finals. And I thought I did great by getting a picture with Neymar. But then I went back this year and looked in the background. It's Neymar. And standing right behind him is Lewis Hamilton. No
Shut
idea who he was.
now
I'm like, Neymar, I wasted my chance. Completely blew it. But
we're the worst.
Yeah,
we're
too bad. Maybe another one. Lewis Hamilton seems to be a basketball fan. He could show up again.
Yeah, he seems to sort of be a worldly dude. I think he's got interests all over the place. So yeah, he'll be somewhere.
I think it was Austrian Grand Prix when you tweeted that you were excited that all of the rich people sports were on at the same time. It was like Formula One in the morning and it ran right into Wimbledon. Are you a fan of like America's Cup yachting?
That would have been great. I mean, I had my pinky in the air for almost 8 straight hours. So it was very tiring day to be a sports fan. But yeah, it was the richest of days. So ridiculous. But actually a good sports day, weirdly enough, in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, totally. Feeling very English on days like that. I also saw both of you tweeting about it. I'm not exactly sure what you're allowed to say here, Michelle. Are you launching an F1 show with Miro, the kid Miro? Because I will 100% subscribe to it as soon as it drops.
Well, I love Miro. I mean, good for him for staying out of the news in the last week. That was nice and quiet. we've been working on this project and we're not even really sure what we're allowed to say. I can tell you that it should be official right around Belgium. So that stop, I think, is our target date. But yeah, we've had some hangouts and some talks and some pictures taken, and I'm hoping for the best, but I am headed to Budapest tomorrow to sort of get my feet on the ground and learn some stuff. Just in time for Lufthansa to take a walkout and strike. And so all the flights are canceled. So we'll see if we make it or not, but thank goodness for trains. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I've never worked with Miro, obviously, before. So as soon as we're allowed to say anything more than that, I feel like that's a lot, right? That seems like a good tease.
Yeah, that was an excellent tease. I'm very happy to find out that, like, it's a legit thing and not just some sort of internet joke that y'all are both getting in on. Because, I mean, I was having laughs if that was the case. But otherwise, I would much rather actually listen to you talk. You say you're heading to Budapest for the Hungarian Grand Prix this next week. Have you been to a race before? You ever been to an F1 race?
Just Austin. That was last year. That was my birthday and it was my first one. And it's like, I'm going to be a wily veteran now by the time I touch down. No, I have no idea. And it has been legitimate bucket list now for, I guess, almost 2 years to sort of see as many as you can. I think the vibe and the atmosphere will be so very different from city to city, obviously. And Austin is just full of people like you and me, basically. It's just crazy newbies. And these other stops are old school and they've been following the sport for quite some time. And Hungary's got a bit of a reputation of always being a fun stop and sort of a party city. So the Budapest vibes will be good. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, it should be awesome and should definitely be a little bit different than the Austin Grand Prix. Because if I'm not mistaken, last year for the Austin Grand Prix, didn't they like bring out Chris Bosch? They put Shaq in like a tiny convertible with bull horns on the front of it. It was definitely like an Americanized party.
It was so American. And I think Boban was walking around at one point, like sort of where we were, which was a weird thing for your eyes to see. Yeah, but you know what? Nothing. At the end of the day, Austin still, I think, is a much more chill situation. We've seen what they've done now in Miami, and then we have Las Vegas next year. I think those will be the two that are really over the top. I think Austin tries to keep it weird a little bit, but it's 400 something thousand people in 100 degree heat. It was an experience.
I can believe that. Is there a particular Formula One team or driver that you're partial to?
It's funny because after watching the Netflix series, and I think a lot of us sort of just fell in swoon with Daniel Ricciardo because he's everything that I've always liked in not just athletes, but like famous people and people in general, friends and all that. Like he's funny and self-deprecating and he's sort of in on the joke and he gets it. Also happens to be good at what he does. But as time has gone on, still love him, still pulling for McLaren. There really isn't anyone I root against. I'm sorry. I root against Lance Stroll. But other than that, I root against no one. And so these guys kind of grow on you. Like the Ferrari, and I call them kids because at this point, who are we kidding? But Leclerc and Sainz and Perez and, Fernando Alonso always has these moments where you're just like, what a badass. Mm-hmm. Like it is, it's hard to find anyone that you're not pulling for. And I mean, there are only 20 guys. So it's hard to be cutthroat about it all. And I know that there's a Lewis Max division and that's fine. You need that in sports, but I really don't root against anyone at this point.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. And I think it's funny you mentioned Lance Stroll because after season one, the guys who I was not a huge fan of was not a huge fan of Verstappen, but he kind of won me over, honestly, by not appearing in season four and just kind of being a peripheral character. I think that kind of mellowed out his character in general, and he didn't seem to be the one driving all the drama. Maybe that was coming from the team principals there. The other guy was Fernando Alonso. I thought he was too tough to handle, probably, in season one. But now that he's back as, like, the wily old veteran, I love seeing this guy. He's completely won me over. Lance Stroll, I'm still waiting for the change.
However. Right. It hasn't happened yet. No, when Alonso did the Dikembe finger wave last race, that was it. I mean, he looks like some movie star, and it's just that's the thing. The sport just pretty much has everything. Lance Stroll might have a moment. The funny thing is, I root for Lance Stroll's dad, so I don't know if that means anything. Like, that's weird, right?
You're more of a fan of his dad?
Yeah, I feel like his dad seems chill. I'm not sure. Maybe we're just missing it, or maybe he doesn't translate well on television. We shall find out.
Yeah, unfortunately for him, he comes off the same way on the team radio as he does in the Netflix series. So I think maybe he's staying true to his character. You mentioned
Daddy.
Your mom. Yeah, you
mentioned, sorry.
You mentioned your mom wanted to be an F1 driver back in the day. You said your brother followed the sport growing up as well. How about you behind the wheel? What was your first car?
Oh, God. Well, I learned to drive on a 1976 VW Super Beetle, which I know, of course I did. But it was beautiful and it was turquoise and it was convertible. But when it was time for me to finally get my driver's license, the rule was it had to have airbags. Well, in 1993 or whatever that was, few cars had airbags that were within my budget. So my first car was the American classic, the Geostorm.
Awesome. Awesome. But we probably could have had some fair races. My first car was a 1990 Chevy Beretta.
Yes.
I don't think they make that either. It was Ferrari
cooler.
Red, though, so you know it was looking fast out there.
Oh, yeah, you beat me. I was blue. Lame and blue.
That's tough. Are you a rule follower when you're on the road, or are you speeding like crazy out there?
No, I speed like crazy. I'm very, I am aggressive. It's weird because I've gone from California drivers now back to Texas drivers. They're both horrible in their own rights. And so I'm a very aggressive driver, I'm paying attention. And I think what bothers me the most is when you pass someone and they're sitting there sending an email and you're like, you're not smart enough to multitask like that. So get off the phone and move over. But yeah, definitely a speed demon, trying to be better about it. When dogs are in the car, all the rules are followed. It's the only time.
That's smart. Yeah, got to keep them safe. Keep them safe. But blue car,
you?
Aggressive driver. You sound like a real Max Verstappen out there.
Yeah, that's like, I feel like that's like a good thing to call someone. Wait, are you an aggressive driver, or are you like a, 10-2 keeper?
No, I try and drive like Vin Diesel in the Fast and the Furious movies. Ooh. Always one hand on the steering wheel, always one hand on the gear shift, even though I'm driving an automatic. Like, I'm not shifting or anything, but I want to hold it. I want to look out the window.
That's cool.
Every single
cool.
time. But I'm with you. Anytime there's somebody in front of me who's slow and I pull up next to them, I'm staring them down. Guaranteed. Like, I just got to know what your deal is and why exactly you're going slow. And I want you to know that I'm a little upset about it. since there's no way we can send messages between cars.
Not
like,
yet.
I would just love that. That would, to me, that would be like the next big step forward in automotives.
A Bluetooth airdrop of like hey, go F yourself. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to honk at somebody at a stoplight. I don't want to honk at somebody. That's a little rude, but I would love to be able to just send a quick little airdrop message saying, light turned green. You can go now.
Oh, that would be so good. You know what? Everyone has guns these days, so I feel like the road rage has sort of lost any kind of, like, you don't want to do it anymore because it's terrifying. But if I could airdrop something and then just zoom away, then I'd reconsider.
You make a great point. I used to love doing road rages back in the day, but not the same out there anymore, unfortunately.
It's mean streets. The war out there.
We did have a race this past weekend, so let's get into what happened at the French Grand Prix. We'll start by taking a look at the results on the podium. We've got Max Verstappen in P1 taking home his 27th career win as a Formula One driver. He's followed by two Mercedes, Lewis Hamilton in P2, George Russell in P3. It's the first time this season that both of their drivers have finished on the podium. The rest of the point scorers goes Sergio Perez in fourth, followed by Carlos Sainz in fifth, then Alonso in sixth, Norris in seventh, Ocon in P8, Daniel Ricciardo in P9, and Lance Stroll taking home the final points. P10, getting that CanCon in for the Classic Factory here. As you'll notice, though, Michelle, no Charles Leclerc, who crashed out of the race on lap 18 from the lead, and he admits it was driver error, another epic botch job from the Tifosi. A comfortable win for Verstappen, but we got to start with Ferrari. What'd you think when Leclerc spun out there in the lead?
It's almost like, and I hope that this isn't what is happening in his mind, because it's bad enough it's happening in our minds, but it's almost like now we expect it. We expect, it's not the same every time, but at some point it's inevitable in a race that the Ferrari will do something. And in this particular case, I did find it interesting that he immediately took the blame all on himself following the race, or at least following his race. Everybody else was still working. And I didn't know, and I think it was Nico Rosberg was talking. He was like, I'm not sure why he's accepting all of the responsibility immediately. Like, the car has something to do with it too, because it all seemed okay. It's just, it keeps happening, and it's only so long before there's something in his brain that's just going to wait for it every race. Like, okay, when's it coming? When is the mess up? When does the car stop? When do I screw up? So it's a bummer because obviously we want to see these races be close. We want the race to the end of the season for the overall championship to be close. It's much more fun that way. I want the drama between Carlos Sainz and Leclerc to continue because I think that's also good for all of us. And it was a bummer. The scream, you know, scream heard around the world. that was an interesting moment, but yeah, I hope he has short-term memory. I know that's a big part of being a professional athlete in any sport is to sort of keep it moving, but man, it's got to get harder and harder when you're Charles Leclerc at this point.
Yeah, it was, you could just feel the frustration from that radio message where he's like just breathing hard for 10 seconds or something like that. It seems like maybe he's trying to back the car out and then just yells at the top of his lungs. When's the last time you yelled like that?
Probably yesterday. Probably this morning, actually. The irony is I usually get my maddest when I'm on my way to yoga and when I'm leaving yoga. So really, yoga does nothing for me whatsoever. There's no before and after. It's all the same.
Yeah, but during that session, the vibes are immaculate.
Peaceful.
You're right, though, about the fact that we were kind of robbed of a little bit of a race here between Verstappen and Leclerc, because Leclerc did a really good job early in the race and like holding Verstappen off. It looked like Verstappen maybe was going to burn out his tires. He had to drop back a little. And then there was no race as the race went on because he was so far ahead of Lewis Hamilton. So we were robbed a little bit of the championship drama that we saw last season quite a bit and that we saw earlier this season. It just feels like, you're right, Leclerc does have a little bit and has to have a little bit of a short memory, but even he is like, you can tell it's getting to him with the way he's like, I've given up 32 points on my own. He's 63 points down in the championship, but like he's got to be replaying every single little mistake that Ferrari has made, and they've made quite a few of them so far this season.
It's frustrating too because it's Ferrari. I mean, you don't have to know anything about anything to know what Ferrari is, what it stands for, what it looks like, you know, all the things that come with one of the most iconic and, for me, beautiful cars that have ever been manufactured in the world. And to be able to drive for Ferrari, it's such a legacy team. It's just, they got to figure this out. You know, Carlos Sainz, I know he had some upgrades, so he started in 19th. Finishing in 5th is pretty awesome, and I was happy for him. But I really want him to get it together because I want this thing to be interesting through the rest of the races. I did find it interesting, though, that the Mercedes came in 2-3 after we heard all about, you know, oh, maybe we'll be good next year, and we just can't seem to get it together this year. And then all of a sudden, it's like 2-3. Are they passive-aggressive, or are they playing it down? I can't figure them out.
I can't tell. This seems like maybe a season-long sandbagging for Mercedes. It was kind of like every year we would come into the new season and be like, ooh, Mercedes is slow in testing. They're not going to have the car this year, and then obviously Hamilton won all of his championships. This year they came in slow in testing, and then they kind of lucked out in the first Grand Prix, but they've been the third best team. But somehow, Lewis Hamilton has finished on the podium more times than Charles Leclerc. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I was happy to see it as a Hamilton fan, but they seem to be getting a lot luckier, at least, than Ferrari is. They don't get in their own way, at least.
No, they don't seem to be getting in their own way. And I know there's so much talk about all the, you know, bottoms of the car and everything that's going on. And we're starting to heat back up between Horner and Wolf. And I'm here for all of that, by the way. I like when those two argue publicly. It'll be interesting to see if Mercedes now figures things out. And good thing Perez is still always in the hunt as well. But it will make for an interesting year. If they can't figure it out at Ferrari, and they just seem to sort of fall by the wayside as the season goes on, then at least give us a good Red Bull Mercedes showdown. I just want something to be close.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it feels like Red Bull is pulling away and Ferrari is kind of helping them pull away because, like you mentioned, it wasn't just Leclerc crashing out from the lead. That was like a self-inflicted problem. Whereas with Carlos Sainz, it was completely Ferrari just messing with him, really. Like you said, he had to start in 19th. He got up to P3 at one point.
Yeah.
And then they pitted him with 10 laps left in the race. What were you thinking when they sent Carlos Sainz in that late?
Well, it was a bummer because, again, like I said at the beginning, I'm learning all of the time. So it was, you could see his tire. Look, it was 4,000 degrees on the track and you could see his tires starting to wear. And so the whole thing was, I didn't know this. I didn't know that if he did not pit, then the 5-second penalty could not be implemented. But once he pitted, then yes, the 5 seconds kicked in. I didn't know. I learned that rule. So I was just like, oh, okay, well, don't pit. And then as soon as he did, I was like, oh, there goes the podium. That's a bummer. But I got to give it to him. It was a hell of a race. He never gave up. He was in it the entire time. He had so much ground to make up. And look, I think he sort of feels like the stepkid. I mean, he's sort of not as loved as Charles, but there's also some weirdness now because Leclerc seems to not be having a good time of it. It'll be interesting to see as this goes on where the loyalties within the Ferrari ranks actually lie.
That's a great point, because Leclerc is their number one guy, and he's the one who's kind of like tabbed as the future world champion, the guy to bring Ferrari back to prominence. But Sainz is probably a little bit more steady, a little bit more reliable, and at least when you hear him on the team radios, he's like going back and forth with the pit wall, whereas Leclerc is kind of just like, you tell me. And then you get into some problems when it comes to Ferrari, because they don't really want to make a decision. I thought it was crazy when Sainz was passing, I think it was Perez, they got on the mic, on the radio to him in the middle of a pass. He's like, not right now. I'm pretty busy. Do you like when people talk to you when you're driving, Michelle? Are you chatting?
Well, that's like when you're driving and it's pouring down rain and you don't know where you're going and you're like, turn the radio down. And then somebody's trying to have a conversation. You're like, not right now. I don't even know where we are. Let me just get through this and then we can have an entire talk. It is weird that the teams, though, don't seem to understand that. That seems to be 101 on communication with a driver going 200 miles per hour.
Maybe yeah. Just let me get in your ear here at the most stressful and most dangerous time and just amp the difficulty level up a little bit more. Some other notable happenings from the French Grand Prix. Both Alpines beat both McLarens, Fernando Alonso topping Lando Norris and Esteban Ocon beating Daniel Ricciardo. There was a great moment late when Alonso said that he wanted the McLarens close to him so he could burn out their tires, and it actually worked. He said they played the race like a chess game. I thought that was really cool, a real veteranship kind of move there. Michelle, how do you handle things when somebody's tailgating you?
Oh, I do not like that. And now that I'm back here, it's always those big dually pickup trucks. And I have a big car, so it's not like, you know, they're riding up on some tiny car. I'm still here, and I'm not going anywhere. It makes me angry because, A, I'm already probably going faster than I'm supposed to be, and I'm probably going to get back over because I'm not a left-hand driver, because that's annoying and you're not supposed to be. But when you're just that aggressive about it, I'm going to do what most people do. I'm just going to slow down and be a jerk. I'm going to trap you in the lane. So sorry, I'll do better.
Yeah, that's the most infuriating thing to me is when I'm speeding, to be like, how much do you want me to break the law?
Stop pushing me.
Yeah, I feel like Alonso, I'm going to burn out your tires here.
God, yes.
Smart move from him. I guess that's the veteranship. His teammate, Frenchman Esteban Ocon, he got his first points at his home race.
Yes.
The other French driver on the grid, however, Pierre Gasly, didn't fare quite as well. He started 15th for AlphaTauri, finished 12th, but just couldn't make an impact. I got a question for you off this, Michelle, because you've been a San Antonio Spurs fan forever, grew up watching the Spurs. Like you said, you work with the Spurs now, so you could have a unique perspective on this. What's the pressure like being back home, like in front of home fans who care about things more than a standard fan would? You know what I'm saying? Do you feel pressure to perform?
I can't imagine having any pressure anywhere, but I do see, I mean, look, we saw it at the race because Gasly's parents had so much camera time because obviously it's his home country as well. And with this particular race and a lot of the international sports where you have many nationalities playing within the same sport, I think you really see it when they travel. And so each of these guys, for the most part, have a home country race. You see it in the stands. There's this national pride when the anthems play, whatever. And they're pulling. You know, with the British Grand Prix, we had three guys in it. And you're just like, of course the crowd is pulling for the three Brits. And you know, maybe one day we'll have an American. Who knows? But it is, I'm sure it's a much higher pressure than we probably understand, because our sports are all played within the United States for the most part. And so there is none of that sort of national pride that comes with it. It's fun to see, though. It's probably, there's no Hungarian driver, but I'm still looking forward to it as far as just how the fanship sort of split themselves and who pulls for whom and who boos for who. And that's turned into a thing as well, which I've enjoyed watching.
Oh, no doubt about it. It's awesome to see which circuits basically pull for which drivers is really cool. The only other thing that stuck out to me from the race, you probably hate it now that I'm thinking about it, Lance Stroll and Sebastian Vettel battling for 10th, getting that last point in the last lap of the race.
I hate it.
Sad to say, Stroll came out ahead here.
We don't like that. We pull for Seb always and forever.
Yeah, we pull for Seb. But at least it was exciting down to the very last minute. The last thing, though, from the French Grand Prix, Michelle, we gotta bequeath our beans.
What?
Oh! That's right. If you don't know how this works, which I'm guessing not, Michelle, every week on the show, we award the title of Full Beans Driver of the Weekend, basically the driver who was doing the most out there over the course of the race weekend. You hear this on the broadcast sometime. Brundle will be like, oh, Verstappen really gave it the full beans here on the back straight. So, you know, you're flooring it. You're giving it your all. Who impressed you the most at the French Grand Prix? Who's your full beans driver of the weekend?
I think I'm going with Carlos Sainz because of where he started and where he ended. And not just where he ended, but where he at times was. I mean, he really was in a podium position for a minute there, and I thought he was going to pull it off. So I'm giving it to him. One and two was pretty much settled early enough in the race that you stopped paying attention. But three down provided some excitement throughout. So Carlos Sainz, full beans.
Yeah, I think that's a great choice. He's got to be the leading candidate. I think he won driver of the day for the race. He was even good in qualifying. Like, he had that great Q2 lap, and then in Q3 he knew he wasn't really doing anything since he was going to have to start 19th regardless. And he just drug Leclerc to P1, which ended up not mattering. So a great full beans candidate there. My full beans driver of the weekend, I'm going to give it to George Russell since you're giving it to Carlos Sainz. I just like that overtake he had on Perez there after the late virtual safety car. He just timed it perfectly. Somehow stole P3 off of Checo there. So full beans to George Russell. He'll probably put him on toast. Gonna take a quick break here. When we get back, gonna play a little game. Stick around.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Back with No Breaks, I'm here today with Michelle Beadle, the host of the What Did I Miss podcast here on The Athletic. Time to play a little game, Michelle. It's called Bliss or Miss. Got new upgrades for the Grand Prix this weekend. Look at this, all these fancy graphics. JD's been crushing it here. Here's how the game's gonna work, Michelle. I'll give you a topic. If you like it, it's bliss. I love it. If you don't like it, miss me. No thank you. Easy enough?
Okay. Yep. Perfect.
Right. Usually this is one of our first questions for a guest, but it just fits too well here. So bliss or miss? Pumpernickel toast, Toto Wolff's favorite.
No, absolutely no. Miss me with all of that. No.
This guy orders it for like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. He ordered it in every scene of Drive to Survive season 4.
He really did, didn't he? No, look, who am I to argue with Toto Wolff? He's one of Earth's perfect creatures. But no, you're going to have to miss me with the pumpernickel. I'm not into that at all.
This is a divisive loaf around here. Most people, not big fans. We had a loaf for maybe the second episode. I ate a piece, Graydon ate a piece, and then we just let it sit in JD's fridge. I'm assuming it's either still there or hopefully tossed, because that thing would be incredibly moldy. I think we're getting mostly misses on pumpernickel toast around here. All right. One of the funnier things we've seen from F1 this season was the football helmets on the podium for the Miami Grand Prix. Here you see Max Verstappen wearing it. You see Carlos Sainz giving a salute in his Pirelli football helmet. So, Michelle, bliss or miss, podium football helmets.
You're going to have to miss me with this as well. I'm just going to come off as a hater here. No, it exuded through the television all the European kids going, look at these stupid Americans making us wear these helmets. And I just felt it on my couch. And I was like, oh, man, what are we doing? So, no, miss me on that.
I think that's a fair miss. What a hilarious look, though. Like, especially the poses they gave. I feel like, I don't think Carlos Sainz, like, salutes anytime he wins a race. But for whatever reason, you put on a football helmet, you got to. This isn't one of our topics. But what did you think about the fake marina there in Miami?
Oh, that was, again, it was very over the top, very sort of a Miami in America thing. So I think it was on brand for the city it represented. But again, as Americans, I'm just sort of like, can we just maybe ease ourselves into this sport that's existed way before we got here and then maybe kind of make some changes? Like, let's not do it all at once, but that's not our way. So yeah, wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, exactly. And that they're like, oh, you have 70 years of racing history? Well, who cares? We're putting a track in the middle of a parking lot and wearing football helmets. Come jump in our fake pool. It's going to be really, really fun.
America.
America. Sticking in the football world, I know you saw this yesterday, Michelle. Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers showed up to training camp dressed as Cameron Poe, a.k.a. Nicolas Cage, in the movie Con Air. My first question for you is why? Why did he do this?
Well, why not is obviously the response. It is awesome. Nick Cage could do no wrong unless you're the IRS. And I love everything about this. I hope it's not just like, I want this during the regular season because he nailed it. He nailed the look. The movie's amazing. I have zero negatives about it, so bliss.
Well, that was going to be my next question for you. Bliss or miss? Yeah, 1997's totally Con Air. Like, I mean, I also like the look from Aaron Rodgers, but I really just wanted to talk about Con Air. You said you're a fan.
It's such a good movie. Like, the scene on the plane with all the degenerate criminals, it's that stretch that Nick Cage had, like The Rock, Con Air, Face Off. There's just this stretch he has that every single movie was thoroughly entertaining. Realistic? Probably not. But I didn't care. I loved it. I loved him and all of it. So yeah, I'm a Nick Cage fan for sure. And I realize that for every good movie he's done over the course of the last couple decades, he's now added 3 crappy ones, but I don't care. I'm willing to overlook that.
Oh, no doubt. This was peak Cage. Which do you think is more unrealistic? Con Air or Face Off? Two men switching faces.
I don't know. I spent a lot of time near Beverly Hills and people switch faces all the time. So maybe
a lot
not.
Of operations out there.
Yep, a lot going on.
Here's a trivia for you. What do you think the Rotten Tomatoes critic score is for Con Air? Like you mentioned, this was like peak Cage.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Okay, well, Rotten Tomatoes, it goes a little intellectual on us sometimes. So I'm going to say it's a 57.
Wow, that's pretty good. Critic score of 56, which, yeah, a little low.
Shut up.
JD is shocked here. Too low?
Whoa.
Too low for you, JD?
Way too low.
Well, I was just impressed by Michelle's. She's off by one.
No, off me by too. One. How do I make that into money? I have no idea. But yeah, that's low. It was much more entertaining than that.
That could be like a cool carnival skill to have. Like, you're standing in a booth and people come up to you and ask, "What do you think the critic's score is for?"
Yes.
D2, The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, God.
I guarantee it's
going
to
be
too
low.
Audience gave it a 75, and honestly, that seems low to me for an audience score for Con Air. I thought it'd be like 80s or 90s.
I'm wondering if a bunch of new kids have tried to like chime in and they don't get it. That's probably
they don't get it. They don't get it. We're just flying our criminals across the country in the air. We're putting all of them
all
in one place.
All on one plane. Why not?
Yeah. So I've seen more than a few of your tweets, Michelle, with what seems to be deer just hanging out outside. Yes. Here's like a million of them just walking around. I saw you had a selfie once where it appeared to be maybe this exact buck we're seeing here. Just
yeah,
hanging out on
crazy.
The back patio. So bliss or miss, deer in your backyard?
Well, luckily it's my parents because that's just too wilderness for me. But yeah, no, absolute bliss. I grew up there. They are now to the point where you feed them out of our hands. They actually come onto the patio to the door and sort of knock on the door when they think it's time to eat again. So yeah, I don't know what the bill has been for corn and apple biscuits over the last 20 years at the house, but I'm sure it's probably more than my dad paid for college at this point in the game. So I love it. I love everything about it.
Yeah, it must be awesome. You probably get to like literally watch them grow up over the years. You're like, this guy got a new point on his antlers.
Yeah, no, it is. It's like, it's traumatizing too, because obviously, you know, the circle of life. But it's you keep track. They tag them a lot in the neighborhoods because there are so many and they want to sort of make sure everybody's safe and healthy. But yeah, they're almost like family members. And if you let them in the house, I know they'd come in and it would be a disaster.
Yeah, I'd seen the Chris Paul commercial. It did not go well for him when they got inside of his garage. Unfortunately, though, I figured this one would be a bliss. Deer are very chill, very cool, but they are not the only creatures you've been dealing with.
Oh, God.
Bliss or miss, snakes.
Oh, no. Absolutely.
In your backyard.
No. Freaking miss me with every single one of those disgusting reptilian bastards. I don't want anything to do with them. I hate them. And now I'm afraid to go into my own backyard. I have purchased snake boots and snake wrangling gear. So
what?
I am prepared. Worst case scenario.
You're going to wrangle a snake?
I don't know what else. What am I going to do? If I see one, I have the little 6-foot thingy that you just like zap it up. Granted, I'm probably going to throw the thing and run, but in a perfect world, I will catch it. And I will put it somewhere else.
You gotta put it up somewhere on the internet if you actually catch a snake.
Oh,
I feel like
sure.
The boots are gonna come in handy for sure. And if you actually are able to wrangle one, that's gonna go viral.
I mean, it's gonna be the heart attack that happens right as I'm doing it will also go viral, but that's fine. It'll be worth it for the gram, you know, or TikTok or whatever the hell I'm supposed to put that on.
Oh, we'll be getting to that in just a second. Bliss or miss here, Michelle? I think I know your answer on this one. Karaoke, bliss or miss?
Bliss all day, every day. You don't even need a sip of alcohol. I think that's a misconception people have about karaoke. It is an event and a process and a procedure. It's do it sober. You will actually love it that much more. I highly recommend.
Do you prefer a private room karaoke or on stage?
No, on stage. I mean, there have been moments where a private room was cool if you had a big enough group. But really, you want to share your gift with the world and not really just rob them of what it is you're about to do. So just get up there. Get up there and bring it down.
What's your gift? What's your go-to song?
I usually do Cher. I recently did some Alanis Morissette. Unbeknownst to me before I sang it, I didn't know I had rage, and it seemed to be towards men on that particular night. So I was yell singing at every man that walked by. And then I'd look in the crowd and the women were all, and I was like, oh, so this is one of those nights. And it was, it was a fun night. But I those are probably my two go-tos. I try to stay away from the Journeys and the Bon Jovis because I feel like everyone's going to do that and I'm going to want to sing along with them. Mm. But it's not my first choice.
Are you looking you are going for sing-along songs, though. I think that's a key. You got to have a chorus that people are belting out alongside you.
Yeah, otherwise you're kind of up there on an island and there's nothing worse than looking out and realizing no one knows this song that you have picked with all of your heart. So I've seen it done and I've seen it done successfully, but that's only if the person singing has a killer voice. That's the only time. And I saw it recently. A woman did like a B-side of a Luther Vandross album that I had never heard and brought the house down. So nobody knew the words, but we were basically all like in awe when she was finished. So that worked, but not usually.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite when we go karaokeing with Lee Ellis on the show here. He always picks Angels by Robbie Williams, which is a song people know. He doesn't necessarily have... the pipes to sing it how Robbie does, but he really gives it his all and wins people over almost in spite of himself. Yeah.
Yeah. It's unfortunately, America didn't embrace Robbie Williams the way we probably should have. So it's a bold choice on his part.
Yeah. That's what he always says as the song is playing his intro. It's like, he should be bigger here in America. He was massive overseas. So I'm going to sing this song that 8 people know. But sometimes it works. Sometimes it works.
If you get the right room.
Yeah. If you get the right room. Exactly right. Moving on, after nearly 40 years on top of the game, Klondike just announced this week that they're discontinuing the Choco Taco. Bliss or miss? Choco
Taco. So here's I got in trouble for this yesterday. I didn't know what a Choco Taco was.
What?
I've never had one. Yeah, no, it was apparently surprising that I didn't know. Now, I looked at it. It obviously looks lovely and delicious, but I can't say that I'm really loyal to it in any way whatsoever. So... yeah, I guess bliss. It's one less thing that I have to be tempted by in the freezer section. Yeah, they'll have something else though. But yeah, I missed it. Are they good? I have no idea.
I think the idea of remembering it from your childhood is probably better than the actual Choco Taco is these days.
Usually,
I'll probably try and track one down just to have one of the last few out there. Guaranteed, they're going to bring it back though. People are going to be tweeting about it so much that we're going to go like 3 months without Choco Tacos, then they're back like the McRib.
Great marketing move.
Great marketing move. What would you order from an ice cream truck if it's not a Choco Taco?
I usually do the red, white, and blue rocket thingy.
Classic.
I only like the red and the white.
Toss the blue?
Yeah, I don't like the blue as much. And then, or something lemon. Those were my go-tos usually. Because it's so hot here. You don't want a bunch of chocolate and then you're walking around like, eh. You need something like a popsicle at all times.
Absolutely right. You mentioned it earlier, Michelle. Instagram is pivoting hard to video, basically getting their TikTok on by featuring their reels and maybe not quite as often featuring pictures of your friends that you want to see. So bliss or miss Instagram reels?
Miss. Now, I have officially gotten a little account on TikTok. I haven't done anything with it. I'm clearly not. Oh, no, I did put something once. But I just feel like each social media platform has its claim to fame. Twitter's for words, Instagram's for pictures, TikTok's for videos. And I just feel like they should all sort of stay in their lanes and concentrate and make that the best version that it can be. So I've seen a lot of people really not happy about the Instagram reels, which is interesting to me because they seem madder about that than other things in life. But you know, you do you, I guess. Maybe it won't last because didn't Twitter try this too with Fleets?
Oh,
and that came and went real quick.
I already forgot about Fleets.
I know.
Great call.
So fast.
Oh, Fleets. Whatever happened to Fleets?
May they rest.
Bliss or miss, Fleets. I'm totally missing them right now. So earlier, late in June, I suppose, the Spurs drafted Baylor's Jeremy Sochan in the draft. He'll be wearing Dennis Rodman's number 10 when the season starts. I love this, but Michelle, as a Spurs fan, bliss or miss, Sochan wearing Dennis Rodman's number 10 for the Spurs.
No, it's bliss. I think Dennis Rodman's stay here was short. And short. And
memorable,
so I don't, there's no love lost necessarily, I think, with Rodman. The only thing I think is bizarre is that people are comparing the two, and it really just boils down to the coloring of the hair.
Yes.
Otherwise, I really see no similarities whatsoever. But, you know, good for him. Stick with it. It's get on the brand, whatever it is your brand's going to be. But yeah, I'm good with it. Bliss.
Yeah, it does seem to me that the Rodman persona. It is big nowadays. Like, I'm seeing kids who are, you know, 18, 19 years old wearing Dennis Rodman shirts. Like, these people weren't alive when Dennis Rodman was playing basketball. The guy was a rebounder and a defender.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, the alt lifestyle was pretty cool.
That's true. And it's weird because unlike a lot of the generation that Rodman played in, he's been very silent. Like, he doesn't talk, mm-hmm. you know, when the new kids start talking about the old guys and da-da, a lot of them respond. We hear nothing from Dennis Rodman. So it is interesting that he's having a bit of a resurgence in pop culture.
No doubt about it. I know that you've spent a bit of time in Las Vegas over the years. So we just had a trip for Summer League last month. We actually did a little karaoke there. Great times.
Woo!
Bliss or miss, Las Vegas.
All the bliss.
All bliss.
Blissity bliss. Yeah. Even when I lose money, it's the idea that I will win it back that is the bliss. So, I'm still in a blissful state when it comes to my love affair with Las Vegas. It seems to get stronger each time I go. So, all the bliss.
Yeah. I'm about 50-50 on this. I feel like the shorter my stay is in Las Vegas, the more chance I have for it to actually be bliss. Just do the things you want to do and then get out of there before you're bored doing the things you don't want to do, which could maybe get you in trouble. But man, Las Vegas, they got some good karaoke there.
Good shows, good food.
Good shows, good food. Do you have a show you would recommend?
I saw Absinthe and Mad Apple. They're both great. They're both for adults. They were both full of talented people with some offensive language and humor, which I find delicious. So it was perfect.
Yeah, we saw Absinthe a few years back.
Good.
Absinthe was definitely the best show we've seen. I don't know if they got a new gazillionaire these days, but
I think they do. He's got kind of a Gary Busey vibe. It was bizarre. But he insulted so many people. This couple left the front row before it even really started. It was amazing. It was amazing to watch.
Wow. You gotta really be offended to leave a Vegas show before it even started. Hopefully they're gonna comp tickets.
I hope so. I'm like, what show did you think you were going to? You weren't prepared for this.
I thought this was a family-friendly circus.
No, not at all.
Called Absinthe. Anyways, Michelle, thank you so much for making time for us today. I know you got some more shows on the schedule later on. What you got going on? What kind of stuff you want to plug?
I'm actually going to do the podcast today. And I think we are doing a Nick Cage heavy. We're going to try to recast all Nicolas Cage roles with current and former quarterbacks, because Aaron Rodgers basically just put this bug in our ear. And now we're like, well, now we're doing Nick Cage as much as we can. So thank you, Aaron Rodgers. Thank you so much. So that's what we're doing today. It should be out tomorrow, you know, the good Lord willing.
Very cool. I can't wait to hear the part about adaptation when there's like 100 Nicolas Cages all running around.
That's the hardest one for me to come up with. I was like, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
It's going to be like Peyton and Eli Manning. Have to be those two guys.
Ooh, that's actually not bad. The Carr brothers, you could try to figure out something there.
Nice.
Yeah, something, something.
Can't wait to hear that. Follow Michelle on Twitter at Michelle D. Beadle. That's two L's on Michelle. Subscribe to What Did I Miss? Anywhere you can get podcasts, even on YouTube. Got to show the faces, right?
Yeah, sure.
<Why not? laughs> Yeah, sure. Tune in, see some yellow shirts, and have a great time. Michelle, I'm going to let you go. Thank you again so much. I will be back after the break to look ahead to the next race on the F1 schedule.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paolo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man and the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back with no breaks, just me and JD here in the Classic Factory. I had a great time with Michelle Beadle talking F1, playing a game. But we've got a great comment here, JD, from the Slipstream team. Mm. Eric Harper says, wonder what the No Dunks fellas love to sing at karaoke. Like I mentioned, we were just there in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
JD, what would you say is your go-to song?
Well, my go-to song has always been Midnight Train to Georgia. Mm. It's kind of lost its luster now that I live in Georgia, right? So it's, yeah, but I love that song. Somehow it's right in my sweet spot. I can sing it, but they didn't have it at our last karaoke, though, at the place in Vegas.
I felt like kind of limited selection.
Very limited.
For American songs, for English songs.
Yeah,
English
exactly.
Songs, for sure.
Yeah. And I whiffed it big time. I was desperate. We were desperate to get out of Take It Easy by the Eagles, stuck on a loop. Like it must have played 45 times.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable how many times it restarted.
Yeah. So I picked Endless Love. And I wanted to do it with Matty O was there and we did it. But I don't think he knew the song very well. And nobody else really did. So it was one of those, Michelle like mentioned it, like it was one of those, you know, odd choices, and no one really knew it. And everybody was just sort of politely listening to it. And I'm just like, this is, you know, you're halfway through a song. And you're like, this is dying.
Oh,
this is
yeah.
dying. I hate this. But, you know, we made it through. But yeah.
I think that's a quality choice, though. I think if you get the right person singing the duet part of it and you both know it,
yeah,
it's a smash.
The harmonies and stuff. And I gave him the Diana Ross part, which is probably a mistake. But
I also remember, this was a long time ago, you crushed Leave On by Elton John.
That song.
That was like one of the best karaoke performances that I have ever seen. Like it still sticks in my mind vividly. And this must have been like Blogs with Balls New York or something like that.
Yeah, that was it. That was lightning in a bottle, I think, that time. But they didn't have it. I was looking for Leave On. They didn't have it at this place, so...
Yeah, not a ton of oldies, but they did have Take It Easy, which we played a million times.
Which I grew to love, actually.
I know. I haven't listened to it since, but I've wanted to listen to it, which is more than I can say than before we went. As for me, my favorite song that I chose the last time we were at karaoke was I Only Want to Be With You.
Ooh, yeah, that was good.
It actually was pretty good. Yeah. I sang it in the style of Hootie and the Blowfish, though, yes, rather than the style of Post Malone. That's just because that's who I think sings it,
yeah,
even if they disagree.
Yeah, Post Malone's is actually pretty close.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's actually too close for a cover.
Yeah, I think the only difference is that he cries when he hears that the Cowboys lose instead of the Dolphins.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only change. Anyways, that's our karaoke talk. As for Formula One, we've got 12 races down, 11 left on the calendar. Before we travel to Hungary, let's take a look at the updated standings. In the Drivers' Championship, you see Max Verstappen atop the leaderboard there with a 63-point lead over Charles Leclerc in P2. Leclerc is followed by Perez, Sainz, George Russell in P5, Lewis Hamilton in P6, Norris, Ocon, Bottas, and Alonso is in 10th place in the driver standings. As for the team standings, we've got Red Bull on top with a pretty sizable lead over Ferrari, who now lead by just 44 points over Mercedes for P3. Alpine, nice weekend, beating both McLarens. They are in P4, right ahead of McLaren in P5, followed by Alfa Romeo, Haas, AlphaTauri, Aston Martin in P9, and Williams bringing up the rear in P10. We got a race this weekend in Hungary at the Hungaroring. Practice Friday, qualifying on Saturday, race on Sunday. Last year's podium went Ocon, Hamilton, Sainz, but that was only after Sebastian Vettel was disqualified due to low fuel after actually finishing in P2. Lots of corners at the Hungaroring. Pretty short straights, which might negate Red Bull's straight line speed advantage. So as you heard a few times during the French Grand Prix, needs to be a big race for Ferrari and Charles Leclerc in particular. Do they have must wins in Formula One? I don't know, but this kind of feels like it for Chuck. So only time will tell. That is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to have to figure out when to record a show about that because I leave for Hawaii on Saturday.
Yeah.
I won't be back until next Friday.
Well,
could get a sub?
I think Graydon is actually looking into getting a guest right now. So I think you might be off the hook, Trey.
Incredible. We'll probably actually do a show maybe that next week as well, because this race in Hungary is kind of like the last race before the big month off. So we will have to do like a first half awards, something looking ahead to the second half of the season. So follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and wherever at No Dunks Inc. for scheduling updates with regards to No Breaks. If you want to hear more of me talking about F1, I'm going on the Scuderia F1 podcast later today. So peep my Twitter to see when that drops. I'm at Trey Kirby. Follow JD at T. Jason Doyle on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Subscribe to The Athletic at theathletic.com/nodunks. Got a $1 a month deal going on right now. Too good to pass up. No Dunks is back Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern, to talk two early NBA awards. It is July. So that is very, very early to be handing out awards, but we're going to do it. And who knows, maybe one of these trades will finally happen, though I'm a little skeptical about that. So you're getting some awards, suckers. Until then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Stay speedy, people. Broom, broom.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.